This episode of Action With Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTapSend. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICCHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Centre on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and the Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode. Well, welcome to another episode of Action With Podcast. Today, I have with me the founder of Melio app, Pukar Bhatrai. Pukar, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
How are you feeling today?
Yeah, I'm good. Took a while to get here. There was delays on the train.
And you know, that's why to be I always tell my guests, it always means a lot when someone says, you know what, yes, I'm going to come to your show, because even from getting from West London to East London takes a while, and some people even come from outside of London. So thank you. Appreciate you giving us your Saturday.
No, thank you for having me. I feel so humbled to be here and I'm excited to talk to you today.
So you're the brains behind Melio app. An app that is connecting Nepali singles all over the world. But beyond that, if there was a random person walking by and they bump into you and they're like, oh, tell me about you, man. What's your intro? How would you go about saying that introduction?
Right. So I was born in London, born and raised in London. Both my parents were born in Nepal. My dad was raised in Nepal. Mm-hmm. But my mom was raised in the UK, and that's because my granddad came to London in 1971, and he came by himself back then, and he was living in East London at the time, and he came for work at the time, and then after a few years of being here, he was able to bring my grandmother, my mom, my mom's younger sister and two younger brothers over to the UK. And they lived in the UK. They lived in East London for a few years before moving to West London. And I think they moved because, my assumption is because they wanted to be closer to the Nepalese embassy.
Okay.
And so the house that they brought was in Kensal Green, which is near Ladbroke Grove, and is a 20-minute bus ride from the house to the embassy. And you have to think, back then, the amount of Nepalese in the UK wasn't as vast as it is at the moment. And so whenever there was a Nepalese party or function, it would happen in the embassy. And so there's a picture somewhere in the house where there's a picture of my grandparents and my mom and my aunt. And they are in the embassy for I think it was a Dussehra party when the late royal family came over.
Wow.
So, yeah. So whenever there was a big event, it used to happen at the embassy. Whereas now, you have parties every week all across the UK. And I think, like, if you think back to the 70s in the UK, they really sacrificed a lot to come here, if you think about it. There was no mobile phones.
Yeah.
So talking to family was really rare. There was no social media at the time, so you couldn't keep up to date with family back then. To see pictures, you had to probably wait for a parcel and wait for the post to come in.
Of course, yeah.
And to send pictures back home, you need to go to the post office. Even to make a phone call, right? You probably had to go to the post office and make a phone call. After moving to West London, my granddad had another opportunity with work, this time in America. His name was Shohan Raj Chalasi.
That's your granddad's name?
That's my granddad's name.
Can I ask what line of work or what your granddad was doing for him to be able to come to the UK and then move to America for work, or go over there?
Yeah, so he worked in the hospitality business.
I see.
So food catering, food serving, restaurants. Opened up numerous restaurants in the UK. But his friend who had brought him here in the UK moved to America and wanted him to come to America with him.
That's a good friend. That's a good friend. Wow.
And so my granddad moved to Atlanta for a couple of months, then moved up to Boston on the East Coast for a few more months. And I think he wanted the family to move over to America at the time. But my grandma at the time was like, look, we've settled in the UK. It's been a struggle for us with four kids. Just come back home and we'll start life here. And like, you have to remember back in the 70s, the BAM community had it hard. It was high time for racism.
Yeah.
And I think they struggled a lot, sacrificed a lot for me to be here today speaking to you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that, you know, the background. So, you know, you're someone who was born and raised in the UK. You've, I'm assuming, have, for majority of your life, have lived here. So, you know, you've probably juggled identities in terms of, you know, the Nepali culture and all that makes, you know, all the, everything that makes you who you are today from this country, because, you know, the UK undoubtedly has probably shaped you a lot as well. And you started an app called Melio, which is connecting Nepali people all across the world. Like, where did the idea for creating this app come about? Because for some people, they might be thinking, here's a guy who was born and raised in the UK. He may not be as connected to Nepali people, et cetera, and so on. So I wonder, you know, where that kind of idea came about. When you could be using other non-Nepali apps.
Okay. To the first point of your question, in terms of like being born and raised here, growing up in West London, I had no Nepali friends. The only friends I had were my cousins, and we were all pretty much raised in the same way. And even in primary school and some part of, in high school, majority of my friends were from African Caribbean descent. Just because that area of London has a high population of people from that part of the world. That's why you have the Notting Hill Carnival occur in that part of London every year. So growing up, you're right. It was a cultural clash for me growing up. On one hand, I had my Nepalese roots. But on the other hand, I didn't see anything on TV, for example, that represented me growing up. And even in school, right, they didn't teach me or anyone about the Gurkhas growing up.
Yeah.
I learned all that from my parents. My dad worked in the evenings at a restaurant for most of the time. And so I was mainly brought up by my mom at home. And so her influence and her growing up in the UK has like influenced me growing up as well. And so where did the idea for the app come from? The idea for the app probably is interesting because it's my wife's idea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's a visionary.
I was going to say, did you create the app to find someone? But I guess we were, the app came slightly after.
We were at home during, I think it was the second set of lockdowns here in the UK. So exactly this time 2 years ago. And we were just thinking, we got friends, we got family members who are at home at the moment. They can't meet anyone, can't go out. And she's like, you work in tech, build an app. And usually what happens is when you have a problem or, you know, when somebody else has a problem, as humans, we automatically have a solution in mind. Whereas I like to take a more pragmatic approach in understanding, is this a real problem? And if it is a real problem, how big of a problem is it?
Okay.
And so the first thing I did was, instead of asking people around me, oh, if I built this app, would you use it? I took a different approach because 9 times out of 10, if you ask people around you, oh, if I built this, would you use it? They'll say, yeah. They'll say, of course I'll use it just to please you. Just like tomorrow, if you thought, okay, let me make Lex branded merchandise. If you ask your friends and families, they'll say yes, just out of love, right? And then you put an order for thousands and then try to sell it and realize you don't sell as much. In the same way, the car maker, Henry Ford, back in the days, if he asked people back in the days what they had wanted, they all would have said a faster horse.
Mm.
When in fact, what they wanted was to get from A to B really quickly,
yeah,
without having to deal with the horse waste and the horse smell along on the journey. So in the same way, I took a evidence approach, scientific evidence research approach, where I looked at what was out in the market at the time. And I realized that the apps out in the market didn't really solve people's problems. And then I thought, okay, you know, these apps don't solve people's problems. Let me see how big of a demand it is. There were so many apps out there at the time, and there still is, which is a good indicator that so many people are thinking about solving this problem. But it didn't seem like there was a major player in the market. So that gave me a little bit of like oomph to go and try it out. And so the first thing I did was I brought a domain name.
Yeah.
Built the front page of the homepage.
And who thought of the name Milio? Milio.
My wife.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Love it. I should be having her here.
You should. I did call her.
Oh, that's sweet.
But yeah, built the front page of the website, had a fake picture of the app, there wasn't an app out in the market at the time, hadn't written a line of code at the time, and had a big text box that said enter email address and a button that said join now. And then because it was a newly formed domain name, Google hadn't indexed the site.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, let me drive traffic to the site. So I brought some Google ads.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime anyone would type in Nepali singles or Nepali women, Nepali men, the ad will show. And so I was trying to test the demand of how many people would actually click on the ad and then click on through to the website and type in their email address for such a service. So this in like product development in tech is called build, measure, learn.
Mm-hmm.
It's reinforced by an author called Eric Ries.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of people that signed up even before I had built the app was in its hundreds.
Really?
So even before
the app launched, quite impressive.
We had a waiting list of hundreds of people across the world.
Okay, so I guess that's a really positive indication that, you know, you're onto something there.
Right.
Or this could, you know, develop into something more.
Mm-hmm.
And like right now, a few days ago, I was scrolling on TikTok and I saw the Milio app coming out of the blue, and there was a lot of engagement in terms of, you know, people's comments and so on, talking about the app. Who uses the app? We know that it's, you know, Nepali people from all over the world, but are they people predominantly from Nepal, or, and who are you targeting as well? Is it just UK Nepali people? Because initially I assumed that it would just be UK Nepali people. But then I did my own research and I saw many, many people from outside of the UK as well.
Yeah, there's a high number of people from across the world, from the UK, Australia, US, Nepal, Japan. I think we have users in over 80 countries at the moment.
Wow.
Yeah, which is incredible. And just this week, Milio was trending in the top 100 apps.
Oh, really? Oh, wow, congratulations.
Yeah, it was a exciting time this week, just because the service crashed.
And yeah.
Yeah,
So busy. What does it take for an app to trend and to become, you know, to be on that top 100 list? Because, you know, I'm sure it's a series of things or activations that you've put in behind to get it to that stage.
Yeah, majority, like we've spent less than £100 on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
This has been all organic traffic.
That's incredible.
Incredible, right? Mm. And so once I had done this experiment, from the moment I realized, okay, this is something where it might be an opportunity to solve a real problem. Launched the app within 4 months. I would say 4 months. So around February 2001, we launched something called an MVP, Minimal Viable Product, where we shipped the smallest thing out there into the market to see if people would actually use it. And there's a famous saying in tech that goes, if you're not embarrassed by your first release, you've launched too late. And I was embarrassed with that first release. Like, even like offline, we were talking about how the app didn't quite work well. There wasn't mm-hmm. much people on the app in the early days. There were so many bugs. People were complaining about not being able to receive messages, see people around them. But since then, a lot has changed in terms of one thing we realized in the early days was that Nepalese people are shy.
That's so funny because when you go to a party, you feel like, oh my God, why people are so wild.
But is that after a few drinks?
I feel like maybe that's also why some of us drink so excessively, probably to kind of get over that shyness. But yeah, back to the app. So how are you getting kind of around that?
Yeah, so in the early days, I tried to get some feedback from people. I would almost like cold call people mm-hmm. by email saying, hey, you deleted your profile, want to know what didn't work. Not many people got back to me.
Yeah.
And so I decided to take a different approach where I thought, if people won't respond back to me, I need to go where the people are. So sort of like ethnographic research, go to where the people are and talk to them. So I printed out 500 flyers, drove down to part of the UK called Aldershot, where there's a high Nepalese population. And I went door to door to every business, gave out flyers, engage with people, and the response was interesting.
Really?
Yeah, so I got like two types of response. Uh-huh. The first response was people would giggle about when I explained what this was. They were like, oh my God, Nepalese dating app, ha ha ha, you know?
Yeah.
And I think this goes back to, and we can talk about this in much more detail around having this like, how do I say, Nepalese society in general, the culture, in our culture, dating is unheard of before marriage.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
I think
you meet to get married rather than the whole dating. That's for a majority of us, I believe, depending on like, you know, what sort of families you come from, it's a slightly foreign concept, like where it's a bit of a risk, you know. It's like, what would other people say? Because dating is that in between. Like, how do you define your son or your daughter's partner and so on? And I think maybe that probably, there's that kind of cultural thing around dating, which we're slowly trying to get away from.
And there's like micro economical changes happening in Nepal right now. Mm-hmm. There's a show called Blind Date, which pairs people up to date.
Of course, yes.
Without, you know, being married. And that, I believe, is only viewable on YouTube. Like, mm-hmm. it's banned on national TV in Nepal. But it gets thousands of views by millennials, Gen Zs watching it. And so that stigma of dating in Nepalese society is still there. Mm. But times are changing. Mm-hmm. And now more than ever, people in our age group have access to technology. So I think it's a perfect timing for something like this to happen and occur, especially like Nepalese abroad, where we're sparse, right? We're not in close location. Meeting other people is really difficult. And so the first response was people, you know, giggling, but the opposite response was like, oh my God, wow, we need this. So it's a clash of two different, you know, responses by people. In one hand, you got people that don't really quite understand the need for this. But on the other hand, you have people who are either reaching their 30s or, you know, getting pressured by family to marry. Who really need a service like this.
No, I think some of the things that you talked about, like in terms of clash, clash around views on the app is very kind of, it's a reflection to where we are as a society as well. There's a lot of like, you know, a lot of our the elders in the community want to hold on to certain things, hold on to their vision of, you know, what a Nepali person is and so on. And there's us who pretty much have such different lives to what lives that our parents may be thinking that we lead and so on. But there's not that openness, and that openness needs to come and bridge, you know, these two kind of different thoughts. And, you know, we need to get there. And I think you can only do it one family at a time, because changing culture and mindset is one of the biggest, hardest thing. Another thing that you mentioned in terms of, you know, when you kind of reach that late 20s, early 30s and so on, parents start thinking, oh, do you have someone and so on. And what I find, and some, like a previous guest spoke about this as well, when you're younger, your parents tend to be like, oh my God, don't talk to anybody. Don't talk to guys. Don't talk to girls, you know, because they're like, you should not focus on this right now. You should just be studying and that's it. You know, you should, you know, stand on your own two feet. But then when you suddenly get to a certain age, they're like, are you interested in anyone? Do you have a boyfriend or do you have a girlfriend? And you're like, for the entire time you said, don't talk to anyone. Don't go down, you know, don't get distracted. And suddenly now you're like, where on earth is your partner? Yeah. So it's like that, you know, I think culturally we haven't really built that space to have that kind of dating and to develop as a human being who can kind of manage emotions and relationships and so on.
I was at a family function recently. And I overheard a conversation. Like, I was sitting down and there was an auntie that I've not seen in a long time, who was talking about her son. And she was saying, oh, he's graduated from a good university in London. He's got a great job at one of the top consultancy firm here in the UK. And I'm going to take him to Nepal in a few years' time to find him a good girl. And it'll be interesting.
Tell me you went over there with your flyer.
I didn't have the flyer with me. But it'll be interesting to see the outcome of that, just because he's born and raised here.
Yeah.
He's grown up in a different way to how she's grown up.
Yeah.
So there is a cultural clash between parents and their children as well.
No, definitely. And I also feel like sometimes it really comes down to you as an individual, because no matter how long you've lived in a society like the one that we live here, just because you live and grew up here doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be much more open-minded and embracing all the differences as well. Because if you've been shaped and conditioned in a household where your parents are pretty much upholding, like, you know, various different ideas that need to be challenged, then it's going to be like, I've seen a lot of young people who have, you know, been born and raised here or spent majority of their education in boarding schools talk about certain things in such questionable ways. And you're like, You know that phrase, like, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree kind of stuff. But then it's like you can see them continuing to continue that cycle. And if that's their choice, I guess that's them. But for people who want to challenge that, I think that might be slightly tricky. But hopefully Milio will get in the way and connect these Nepali singles. And that could be a happy ending for them or the start of a new chapter. So my question is, have you met or heard stories of successful matches? I know that it's still early days.
Yeah, but yeah. Super early. I feel like we've just got started, 1% started. Mm-hmm. There's so much to work on the app. And I feel like even if somebody met today, they're not going to start dating straight away, or they won't get married within the next year or so. So it's a long game. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that, you know, for me, if two people off the app meet and get married, I would feel like this was all worth it.
Wow. So is there any way that you can kind of, I guess this might infringe on their privacy and so on, but it would be amazing for you to find out where, if, you know, two people who met on the app get married, because if it's especially if it's the first one, because then you can, as a app, you can really celebrate that.
Yeah. I'm hoping whoever is watching this has had success in the app and can reach out to me. In terms of like privacy, safety, security, that's the number one principle I hold. The app has many security features built in to prevent scammers, swindlers, bots signing up.
Okay, so hopefully there won't be any Milio swindler.
Hopefully not. So a few things that we have built in is, the first thing is you can only sign up with a phone number. That prevents, you know, it doesn't stop scammers signing up, but it prevents people creating fake accounts. That's one thing we do. The second thing we have built into the app is artificial intelligence, which basically means that you can't sign up without having an actual face on the app. On your profile picture.
Okay, cool. Oh my God.
Because in the early days, what would happen would be people would sign up and have their profile picture of a plant.
Yeah.
Which was useless, right? They would sign up to meet other people, but they wouldn't expose themselves.
Yeah.
So we've incorporated built-in AI into the app to prevent that. And we've got somebody working on moderation to delete any flagged accounts or profiles.
That's incredible. That's really good. I think, you know, for you to be engaging and doing the most that you can, because obviously these things change all the time.
Yeah.
It's great to hear that.
Welcome to A-Star, your complete financial solution. The A stands for first class service and the star relates to you, our most important clients. We are a team of whole market advisors with more than 10 years of excellent service. Serving nationwide, we specialized in home mortgages and remortgages, wills and estate planning, residential sales and lettings, property management, real estates, insurances and pensions. For both personal and business financial advices, please feel free to contact us for consultant. We look forward to working with you. A-Star Financial Solution. Making your move memorable.
This episode of Action with Podcast is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, who'll support you on your journey to expand your property portfolio. Thanks to our silver partner, TapTap Send. With great rates, zero fee, and instant transfers, sending money to Nepal has never been easier. Use the code ICHIN10 for a £10 bonus. Download the app today, TapTap and Send now. Big mention to our silver partner, New Lakshmi Jewelers, home to a stunning range of jewelry collection and timeless pieces from the heart of Aldershot. Our bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining, where delicious Nepali food is served at Shepherd's Bush and Boston Manor. And our bronze partner, Nepali Music Festival UK 2022, taking place at the Harrow Leisure Center on December 16 with Trishna Gurung, Ekdev Limbu, Sabine Rai and The Pharaoh. Enjoy the episode. The other thing is, I had a go. So a few months ago, I did download Melio and I set up a profile. My biggest question was, a lot of the times when people create things, they create for what is the norm. And the norm that we live in this society, it's a man and a woman, you know, that's how they meet and so on. And so I was just thinking, oh, I wonder if there's, feature for men seeking men. So I tried it. So my gender, man, seeking a man. But then initially, I was like, oh my God, there's so many guys. And then suddenly I saw many people that I know who are friends and who are straight. And that's when I thought, okay, I don't think this works for me. So is it the same now, or is there kind of plans to kind of make things more inclusive for people who are seeking the same gender?
Absolutely. Yep. That's on the roadmap for next year, 2023, to make the app more inclusive so that we support the LGBT community. Absolutely. 100%. We're trying to make the app much more diverse and scale it not just for iOS but also for Android users.
That's amazing. So right now it's only available on iOS, as you mentioned. So I think Android is left behind, and quite a lot of people are actually on Android, especially in I'm not sure where, but especially in especially in South Asia. Yeah. I don't have the figures, but is there someone else in that space, an app similar to Melio, who caters for the Android community?
There's so many.
For Nepali people? For Nepali people as well?
There's so many out there. Okay. To be honest, I don't really take a look at the competition. Mm-hmm. I feel like I want to solve people's problems. And hearing feedback from people who actually use the app today, I can make amendments and changes so that I can solve their problems. And when we first released the app, it was on both platforms, iOS and Android.
Oh, okay.
And what we found was to make changes for both platforms as a small team took much longer. And so when I looked at the data, I found that many users from outside of Nepal, over 50%, were on iOS.
Okay.
So I made a hard decision at the time to just focus on iOS. But yeah, there are plans in the future to build it for Android.
And Pukar, you talked about a team and you mentioned about a person who does the moderation and so on. Right now, what does the Melio team look like? How many of you are there? Who's working on it?
Yeah, so we got a small team. Mm-hmm. We've got myself, somebody working on marketing, somebody working on moderation, and an engineer I'm working with. And it's interesting because I'm also getting people reaching out asking for jobs.
That's interesting. Yeah. Where do they reach out? Like on the app itself?
Not on the app. Directly on email.
Okay. Cool.
And they'll message saying, hey, is there a job going? We'd love to be part of the team and help out. I would love to offer people positions to help out, but I feel like we're not at a stage where we're making any revenue. Mm-hmm. We're a bootstrap company, meaning it's all self-funded.
Yeah.
And we're not turning over a profit at the moment. Mm. And we're also getting, interestingly enough, people reaching out about investing into the app. So investors looking to invest into the app. But again, that's not in our plans at the moment.
Yeah.
We're trying to solve people's problems and make sure we can cater to their needs.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. It's great to hear where, you know, that it's really, you know, this app is like a pandemic baby. So, you know, it's literally going to go places. That's definitely exciting. You mentioned that your wife started the conversation saying, you work in tech, why don't you do something? So I want to kind of dabble in that, like, you know, what do you do aside from Melio? Because I believe you do quite a few things and you might still have a job. So it's like, how do you juggle that? And, you know, yeah, if you could kind of delve on your tech background.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So this is, Melio is a side project. My full-time job is working in tech. Mm-hmm. I currently work at Meta, the company formerly known as Facebook.
Oh, okay. I think I know that company.
Might have heard of it. But yeah, it's interesting. My background into tech started maybe when I was in year six. I wanted a computer back then.
Okay.
And back then, the cost of a computer was probably the same as how much a new iPhone will cost, really expensive. And when I said to my parents, hey, I would love a computer, I think it would help me with my
education. Can I just pause you and ask, like, when was back then? Because you said year six.
Yeah.
And for people listening, they might not be seeing, you know, who's here. And yeah, give us a year.
Yeah, so this is like before the internet became commercial in the UK.
Yeah.
And at the same time, my uncle, my Sanamama Sade, he just graduated from university and was working for a small IT firm. And he must have overheard me, or my mum must have told him that I wanted a computer. And he said that I can get you a computer. It'll be a secondhand computer, but it'll help you for what you need. And I was like, yes. And that, I think, started my journey into tech. As soon as I got the computer, I downloaded a few cracked softwares.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow. And you were Microsoft in year Publisher. Six.
Yeah.
That's not even secondary school. That's crazy. Love it.
Things like Photoshop, yeah. Illustrator, After Effects, all these like design graphics tools. And it also came with a game called Doom, which is a first person
shooter
game.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Which is only 18 plus. So I spent my whole summer playing that game. He probably doesn't even know.
Yeah.
But yeah, after a few years after the internet became commercial here in the UK, my love for graphic changed to web. Mm. So I started building websites, designing websites. And then I had like a few friends and family members reach out to me saying, hey, can you build me a website? I'll pay you. And I was like, oh, wow, you can get paid from doing this? So what turned from a hobby actually has become, you know, my professional career path into what I love doing. And my uncle then was working in the largest marketing advertising agency here in the UK. And he was like, why don't you come work here every summer until university? So every summer I would go work there with him.
Is this the same uncle that... Yeah. Helped you in, yeah, with the computer.
So this is my mom's youngest brother.
Yeah. Wow. And my mom, great uncle.
Yeah. And my mom's other brother brought me my first Mac as well. So they have been really inspirational to where I am today as well.
That's really good. That's a really nice story. It's very kind of like, you know, well-rounded as well. So don't want to get too in detail about Meta and what you do there, but I definitely want to ask you, what are some tips that you can tell us, like in terms of how, you know, what are things that we should look out for when being online or, you know, using different apps and so on?
You mean how to get into tech?
Or? No, not how to get into tech, as in like how can we be safer online? Those kind of things, like, because everyone talks about privacy and so on, but a lot of the times I like it also feels like a losing battle as soon as you're online and using things, because half the time you are giving away information.
Yeah.
You know, what's your personal view on that?
Yeah, you just need to be mindful of what you put out there. Maybe in the future, a recruiter might pick it up. So be really cautious about what you share. Download apps which have been verified by the App Store. And try to not put as much personal information of yourself out there, just given how scammers work these days. Privacy is something that I believe the UK Ofcom are looking into in helping supporting the younger generation and educating them around how to be safe online.
Yeah. So one of my assumptions was like when I kind of discovered you and saw that you work for Meta, obviously with how Facebook started back in the days at some college in America. I forgot, like I did watch The Social Network, but it was a long time ago. I think it started pretty much as like a website where you kind of rate people hot or not kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I thought, like, oh, he must have been kind of, you know, he must have thought about, you know, Facebook and its inception, and maybe that's how Melio started. So it's a different start. So that's pretty interesting. But did you ever kind of like have any ideas that, or did you ever think that you'd end up starting an app where, you know, you're trying to get Nepali singles to meet one another?
Not really. So after finishing university, I had a hard time finding a job, even though I had worked at an advertising agency here in the UK, had experience. It was the same time when I believe it was the financial crisis in the UK. So not only was I competing with other graduates who were looking for jobs, but I was also competing with people who had been laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And so throughout my career, I've realized that you need to stand out from the saturated market. And so every step I've taken since then to be where I am today, I've kept that in mind. So that, like, when I couldn't find a job back then, I thought, okay, how can I stand out? So I thought, okay, I can't find a job here in the UK. Let me try and find a job abroad. And reached out to through recruiters, and I guess the stars aligned and I managed to find a job out in California. So I moved out there initially it was for 1 year.
Yeah.
For internship. And it was perfect because I had love for tech. I was just outside Silicon Valley where all the big tech companies are.
Were you working for someone who's, or a company that is quite well known?
No, it was nonprofit.
Okay, cool.
Back then.
That's a change, non-profit to something so big.
Yeah. But that's the beauty around like the design field that I'm in. You can take your skills to different sectors, different domains, different companies. It's great that you can have these transferable skills.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was out there for 1 year. It got extended for another 18 months. So I was there for 2.5 years. And when I met people out there who worked at the big tech companies, I realized that they all had like a master's to get to where they were. So I said to myself, I need to go back to the UK, do my master's, and it will help me reach my vision.
That's great.
So I came back to London in 2013, worked a few years to save up money, did my master's at UCL, in human-computer interaction, which has the foundations of psychology, human factors, and design. And that led me to joining other tech companies such as Intuit, Google, and now Meta.
Nice. That's quite a CV that you have. And now that you have Melio as well. So one question that I must ask is slightly personal. So you and your wife didn't meet on Melio. So how did you guys meet?
So we met through Facebook.
Oh, okay.
So full circle.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's very cute.
Her take is she was searching for somebody with the same name as me.
Oh, okay.
And just happened to find me. add me.
So she sent the friend request to you.
She did.
Love it.
And we had a mutual friend. So I was in America at the time.
But did you guys know about each other through mutual friends? Nothing.
No, nothing.
So when that friend request popped up, what was your kind of initial reaction? Were you like, oh, wrong person? Or obviously I know that early days of Facebook, people would be adding random people and we'd be like, oh, yay. Because, you know, friend requests used to excite us. But nowadays, not so much. what was your kind of initial reaction?
I think I said, hey, do I know you?
Okay.
And she was like, oh, sorry, wrong person. And that was the end of that. Mm-hmm. But then I realized we had like mutual friends. And that mutual friend was in California at the time, who, funny enough, I bumped into at a wedding party. So when we got talking, I was like, oh, you know my wife? Well, didn't know my wife. She wasn't my wife at the time. But I was like, oh, you know her? And then when I came back to London, we met up and then took things from there.
Oh, that's a cute story. Mm. Thank you for sharing that bit of information. So from a bit of research, I also found out that you are into music, or you have done quite a bit of music in the back behind the scenes as well. So I wanted to ask, is that something that you still do? Or if you have time for
it. Where did you find this?
Huh?
Where did you find this?
I mean, you know, the whole circle and our 6 degrees of separation, it's nice. Probably a lot less. Mm. But yeah. So I just wanted to ask, like, you know, what are things that you do aside from, you know, building apps or working in tech?
So yeah, both of those take up much of my time. But in terms of music, I was heavily involved in MySpace back in the days. Mm-hmm. Used to make music, put my music online. And somehow, somewhere, somebody reached out to me from Nepal saying, hey, love your music. Can we use your music? And I was like, sure. I was okay with that. And when I went to Nepal, I think it was 2009, I was called to a music studio and found out one of the biggest rap groups in the country at the time, they used my music for the album.
Is this Nipsiders?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we know what song it was? If you remember.
Yeah. It's called You Don't Want to Know Me.
Okay.
I don't know if we can get it up. You want to get it up now?
Hang on. I'll search for it.
It might be. I don't know if it's on Spotify. It might be on YouTube.
Okay. I'll try to pop it on YouTube. So yeah. So you met them in Nepal. And so before that on MySpace, you were just producing beats.
Yeah. It was just a hobby. Yeah. I think had love for music back then, was making music, and put it on MySpace.
Okay, so I've got this. It was on Nipsiders called You Don't Want to Know Me, Ayo Nipsiders. Oh, shit. Here comes the ad.
This song might go viral now.
Do you still make music?
When I moved to America, I had to sell all my gear.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, would love to get back into it.
Okay, I'm playing it right now. I think this is Mr. K, right? Or is it Gannon?
So it has that crunk feel. Uh-huh. So that was the type of music back then.
Very nice. So So literally one of them found you on MySpace somewhere and then they reached out to you.
Yeah. And they were like, can we use the music? I was like, sure. Mm-hmm. So if you buy the second album, I think my name's in the insert leaflet.
And you're credited as Pukar Bhatrai?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. No, that's really cool. I was just wondering if you can still do music or not.
I would love to, but yeah, just don't have the time at the moment.
Yeah, nice. And so obviously, you know, you've touched on it. You've mentioned that you were born in the UK and so on. I just want to ask, like, you know, right now you're kind of in the midst of, at least online, so many Nepali people from all around the world. You've probably firsthand seen, you know, the different generations of Nepali people or the Nepali diaspora growing at different speeds as well, because there's families like yours, whose grandfather came and moved to the country back in the 70s. But then you know, there's many Gurkha families, and you're very close to a Gurkha family because of your partner and so on. And a lot of us have only kind of moved to the UK permanently in the past like 15, 20 years. Mm. What's your kind of view on, you know, where the Nepali society, the Nepali diaspora is right now? Because there could be elements that Gen Zs might not want to meet Nepali people or want to use an app like Melio, right? Because for them, it's more like they're a global citizen and so on. It's a bit of a jumbled question, but yeah, maybe if you kind of break it down to like the first part, like what does being Nepali mean to you, or you know, how do you kind of define who you are?
That is interesting. Like I said earlier, growing up in the UK, it was hard to find my identity. On one hand, had those cultural values that my parents and my family taught me and my siblings. And growing up, we celebrated Dasa every year, Bhai Tikka. But on the other hand, when I went to school, I had nothing that represented me. But London in itself is beautiful in that sense, is a melting pot of different diverse communities coming together. So you can be who you want to be and not feel left out. The app itself is an experiment. Like I said earlier, it's just I've got only 1% started in trying to solve a problem. The fact that we've had over 10,000 downloads, over 1,000 matches in the space of a year indicates to me that this is solving a problem that people are having. Where it goes, I don't know. Maybe I can come back here in a year's time and inform you of the outcomes of that.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully you'll be at like at least more than 1% then.
Right.
And, you know, there'll be interesting and exciting stories to share off the app as well. Mm. And I kind of just want to ask, like, you know, the Nepali diaspora is in the UK as well. It's growing rapidly. There's, you know, really people from really different pots as well. How do you see like the future, and, you know, what's your kind of thought about, you know, how we kind of move forward?
There's influx of Gurkha regiments coming. The UK has just hired more nurses from Nepal.
Yeah.
So we're going to have some.
And we have, I think, especially in the past 2 years or since the pandemic, and I think partly because the Australia closed its borders and so on, a lot more international students coming as well.
Right.
And I think it's slightly easier now to kind of get like the, is it post-work visa? No, post-study visa and so on as well. So yeah, there's all of that happening. And in a way, it's kind of like this app is great. Just like all the events that have been happening this year, it's great as well. And for especially the young Nepali people, it's almost like these cultural stuff, whether it's festivities or concerts and so on, that's when they can connect in their own way, in their own terms, and connect through that medium, whether that's music or whether it's food. And then, you know, redefine how they want to juggle their identity and so on. But equally, I'm assuming that you may have younger people around your kind of family community and so on. I was wondering, you know, are we going to retain onto our Nepaliness? Are young people going to retain their Nepaliness as keenly as, you know, someone like you who may have done back in the days? When things weren't as open.
I think that's down to the parents. If the parents make that effort to teach their children about the culture, traditions, values, I believe that the kids will follow. Some parts will be lost as every generation grows here in the UK. And it's sad, but that's true.
Yeah.
It will happen. But yeah, like I said, it's down to us, the older generation, to teach the younger lot that this is what our parents taught us. Let's keep those traditional values as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good answer. And I think it's inevitable. It's like, you know, we are where we are. And then, you know, we adopt so many different things because it's not just us as well, right?
It's like I met my cousin couple of months ago, after 2 years of the pandemic. And he's the same age as me, but he grew up in Nepal, born and raised in Nepal, lives out here now. And I said to him, oh, you've been here in the UK the same amount of time you've been in Nepal. Where do you call home now? And he said, look, I'm probably going to retire here, but what defines a person is the first few years of their life. Those early stages of their life defines a person and defines who they are. And for him, home is probably still Nepal.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can't change that.
Mm. That's cool, I guess. Yeah, everyone has a different journey.
Right.
Oh, there was a question that I wanted to ask. Oh, yes. Okay, cool. So right now, there's so many different apps, you know, whether it's Bumble, Tinder, Hinge, Coffee and Bagel. I can't really think. But every app is almost on a quest to find that kind of thing that will make their product different from someone else. What, you know, some have like the voice technology and so on. With some apps, you can kind of, you know, do video calls, etc. What is that one thing that Melio has that you think makes it quite unique?
I think it's focused on a niche audience, and it's given a voice to an unrepresented group of people, which I don't feel like the other apps currently do.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you download other South Asian apps, you don't feel represented. It's almost like, you know, you get those ballots here in the UK where you have to fill out your ethnicity.
Yeah.
And you have Asian Indian, Asian Bengali, Asian Pakistani. Where's Nepali?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this gives the people who use the app a feel that they're feeling represented.
Hmm. Is there a max age cap on Melio?
There isn't.
So yeah, so I guess for anyone who's listening, if you're, you know, 50, 55, whatever, or even older, then anyone's welcome to use it. 18 plus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cute. Any final words before we wrap the conversation up that you'd like to share, or maybe something that I haven't asked you?
No, thank you for having me. Feel really humbled to be here speaking to you. I do offer mentorships to anybody in tech who is looking to get into tech, whether it's product development, product design, software development. Maybe you can put it in your footnotes. And I've spoken to around 15 people across the world over the past 2 years,
mm-hmm.
where I've given feedback around the portfolio, CVs, and just given them coaching guidance around what they could do to elevate themselves to get into tech and to reach their vision.
That's great. Thank you so much. I'll definitely make sure that I'll include Pukhara's information, probably the link to your website,
sure.
Down in the description section. But I think that's a great offer. Hopefully someone takes it up. Don't be shy. Just hit him up with a question. No jobs right now. But hopefully when we get to that kind of, you know, when the percentage scale increases for Melio, I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful time for the app, for yourself and the team that's working so hard right now. I can't wait for there to be like better iterations where the app becomes more inclusive of, you know, people who are looking for the same sex or people who want to define themselves in a different way, which will be exciting. And who knows, maybe you'll see me on the app as well then. So let me know when that update happens. Sure, then I'll re-download the app. All right. On that note, thank you so much to everyone for listening to this episode of Action With Podcast. You were listening to Pukhara Bhattrai, the founder of Melio app. If you liked listening to it or watching us, then give it a thumbs up and download the app. Adios. Bye. This episode is brought to you by our gold partner, A-Star Financial Solutions UK, silver partners, Tap Tap Send and New Luxmi Jewelers, bronze partners, Nepal Authentic Dining and Nepali Music Festival UK 2022. Thank you for listening to Ekchin With.